morning, everyone. Well, we like this so much that we had some major celebrations together with the wives training already. We had our anniversary here, and now we're having her birthday here. I wonder if my birthday will be also here. But anyway, I guess if it's my birthday, wala pala, no? So it feels, ano pala, no? I know most of you, and most of you are friends, but pero pag pinagsabay-sabay pala kayo, it feels unusual, no? It's been a long time since I've been this nervous sharing. But let me thank you for the opportunity and the chance to share this time with you and some of the things that God has done. My wife is still thinking whether she will come up to correct some of the things I will say. But before I share, I'd like to take this opportunity to really honor my wife before you. I know we do this a lot. We say of our spouse or partner, they're the best in the world. And they truly are because of God's purpose in our lives and because of God's choice and because of our own choice and because of the years that we're together. But I just like to take this opportunity also just to give you a glimpse of what my wife has done for my family and for myself. If not for her, some of the things that I'll share with you today would not have been possible. One of the most amazing things about my wife is through the difficult times, she has been someone who stood by me despite the difficulties and despite the crazy decisions that I had to make and I was willing to make. She stood by me and she has never hindered me. In fact, she has inspired me many times. And when you get a chance to talk to her, she can tell you some of those very uneasy, very insecure times when she allowed me to embrace decisions that I felt like God was taking us as a family, but actually put our family in great danger if it did not work out the way we thought it was going to work out. And despite that risk, she was willing to take she was willing to allow me to pursue what we thought God was doing in our hearts. And for that, I'd like to really thank her before everyone and honor her before everyone. And she has been tirelessly serving our family. No one has made more sacrifices for us. No one has been a greater inspiration for us. Her timely wisdom has been a savior for many of us. There, just as much as she doesn't understand some of my decisions, and yet she has allowed me, there are also times when I don't understand her decisions. But because of God in our lives, we may not understand and we may not agree many times, but we have a God that we can go to and support each other despite us not understanding everything. And my wife has been like that in the times when she could not understand, but she would just feel like, all right, God told her to just allow me, and she had a place where she could go to, not nag. My wife has never nagged me. I have done things that she doesn't like, yet she has supported me and gone to God and wrestled with God in a lot of areas in our lives together. So. Honey, thank you very much. Happy birthday. So, my kids though are complaining. Why does my wife have a lunch for her birthday and they're not invited? So, anyway, let me begin with the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. We all know this. It says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and so that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord God, that you would be with us. Lord, that you would continue to take us through the journey that you have planned for us, Lord God. Lord, that we may be in different parts of that journey, Lord God, but we serve the same God. We serve the same provider. We follow and live with the same Father, Lord God. And we thank you for your love and your grace that is more than able to supply all our needs, more than able to transform our hearts and our minds, more than able to work out your will and your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So to start with, for those of you who don't know us very well, we got married in 1991. Actually, we met 1989 when I got back from Australia. Pastor Steve Secretary was my wife. So I had to set up an appointment with Pastor Steve. So I had to go through my wife then. She was not my wife then. Then we became friends for a year. We got engaged in about a year or so after that. And then we got married. And 2 weeks after we got married, we moved to Iloilo. And it was the first time my wife was away from her family. First time away from outside of Luzon. And we moved to a city where we had no relatives. We moved to a city where we had no friends. And we moved to a city where we were the oldest in the church and the only married couple in the church. So it was a very young church, mostly students. And we started the only older person in the church was the mother-in-law of Gigi, the mom of Pastor June Escosar. And so that's the church that we got into. And so we started pastoring there. A few years later, the deal was when you got sent out before, there was no MPD, was they would support, the church would support you for a year. And we, by the way, we took over from Pastor Manny and Joy Muleta, who planted that church together with Pastor June and Gigi. After a year, that was your support was supposed to be cut. The church that you're planting or the church that you're working with should be able to support you. So after a year, the time came, I got the phone call that Pastor Dre, by the finance, the support is going to be cut. There's no checking of the books. There was no checking about what was happening with the finance. There was no question, kamusta kayo? Pastor Dre, this is the deal. This is the time. It's supposed to be cut. So I made an appeal, and they said, all right, we'll extend it for 6 months. So I thank God for the generosity of the church to extend it, Manila Church, to extend it for another 6 months with the deal that it was going to be cut in half. Then after 3 months, another half. Then you're on your own. So that's what we went through. And by the time it was cut, it was very difficult. Financially, we had the church couldn't pay us much at all. We had one child at that time already, and we were paying rent in the house and paying rent for the church, of a church of about 50 to 60 people at that time, and mostly students. And some of our students would walk from their house to the center to attend church on Sunday. So this was the church that we were pastoring. So needless to say, we had financial challenges all over. We know what it is like to look at one piece of egg for four of us, and that was breakfast. And some of the Joy was there during that time. She was a student. They were very supportive. We thank the whole Iloilo Church for standing with us. So we went through this time, and it got to a place. Basically, we didn't starve, and I have never starved in my life. It's obvious when you look at me, but. It got to a place where our dreams or my dreams began to die. Because survival was already a challenge. There was no way to dream. So our dreams just died, just began to fade one after the other. And got to a place where, Lord, I'm just thankful that we're serving you. And things like that. Then after a while, I heard, after a few years, I heard something happening in a French church. And I sat down with him, and he started sharing some of these financial miracles happening in his church. And as he began to share all these financial miracles left and right, and one after the other, and this kind of stirred up hope in my heart that there could probably be a way out of this. And I started listening to him. But the more I started talking to him, the interesting thing is we began to find out that a lot of the things he shared were not really new. There were a lot of the things he shared were some of the things we already knew. And some of it we even taught. Now, the miracles were new. I've never heard wild miracles like that. A miracle that my friend is preaching, his hand gets heavy and says, he sees a house in his hand and he says, somebody needs a house. Who wants a house? This old lady stands up and says, here, in the name of Jesus, catch this house by faith. The woman catches it by faith, falls down under the power of God. The next day, somebody approaches him. You know, I need to build you a house. Miracles like that. And these were all new to me. But some of the principles and most of the principles and most of the word that he began sharing with me were not really new. They were something that we knew and we read in the Word of God. But in a sense, I began to realize that though I knew it, it wasn't working in our lives. I began to realize that sometimes I fall into a trap that I think just because I believe something, that I actually live it out, and only to find out that sometimes what we believe is something we don't live out. That we believe, yes, we believe God is a provider, but actually in reality our heart says, I'm the provider. Because we still do things on our own and our own strength, trying to provide rather than trusting God for his provision. I began to see the difference between believing and living can be two different worlds. So this began a journey in our lives to begin to find out, Lord, what do we believe? I believe in something. I believe that the scripture we says here says, God says, I put before you life and death, a blessing and curse. He says, now choose life. I began to realize that though in my head I say I choose life, the way I live does not support my choice of life. In fact, I have chosen something else with the way I live, and with what comes out from my mouth, with what I say, and the way I live does not coincide really with what I believe. See, in the scripture we read, it says you have to choose life, you have to choose prosperity. And as we look at the scripture, the choice is not really about choosing life and blessing, it involves other choices. It actually says that we have to follow up this choice. As we choose life, we have to follow up with other choices to see what the choice that we make becomes real in our life. And the scripture we read says we have to choose our children over ourselves. We have to choose loving the Lord. We have to choose to listen to him. The Bible says, listen to him, hold fast to him. We have to choose to hold fast to the Lord. Not just, yes, I choose prosperity, I want prosperity. But we have to choose holding fast to the Lord. We have to choose his promises. I began to realize that prosperity is really a choice. And we learned to make adjustments in the choices we have made in life. And as we began to do that, we began to see God do certain things. And the choices are simple. The first one, we all know this. We have to choose God. We want prosperity. We say we choose prosperity. We choose life. That choice has to be followed up with choosing God. What does that mean? God is my source. Therefore, I choose to go to him. God is my source. And we had to make adjustments in our mind. Through the difficulty, I got involved with the business. And through the time that I was burned out, I said, maybe I'll try business. If I'm successful, then maybe God's changing my path or something like that. Because in my heart, I knew I was really called to the ministry, but I was looking for reasons. Because I was in a place where it was very difficult already. And I became successful in business, which got me more confused than anything. It's the first attempt in my life. And I couldn't believe that we actually succeeded in this for a few years. It was a great blessing at that time. See, it's so easy to say, I choose God. But then we make other choices thinking and thinking that it's God, but it's actually us. Because we can't seem to wait or trust God, so we do things on our own. That became very clear for me as God began to deal with our hearts. We say we choose God, but it always goes with the context. And for my context, it was something like this. Lord, remove all the hindrances to church growth, because when the church grows, I will have more than enough money. So I choose God, but the context behind me, Lord, palakihin mo lang tong church. Pag lumaki na church, sigurado ako, okay na ako. So I began to realize I'm choosing God, but I'm actually giving God the solutions. Lord, i-bless mo lang to, Lord, ayos na kami. So this began to go back and forth in my mind and in heart. Lord, ano ba talaga? We give God solutions rather than embrace what God wants. God is not a good luck charm that when He is in our life, the bad luck is gone. It's almost like sometimes, it's funny because as Christians, we don't say this, but sometimes I see this as an attitude in many, and I, including myself for many years, we have this attitude, Lord, tanggalin mo lang lahat ng mala sa buhay ko, ako na bahala. Lord, if you can just remove all the bad luck in my life, I can make this happen. And we were kind of like this people that are involved with animal with folk religion, trying to ward off bad luck, and then so that we can have the power to make our own luck. But a choice of God is very different from just trying to make things happen on our own. We began to realize that God doesn't just bless us, but He has His way, His timing, and His purpose for His blessing. So the question now began to, the question changed from, Lord, why am I not blessed, to Lord, what is your will? Where are you leading us? What are you trying to do in our lives? What is your purpose? And as I begin to share more of this, I'll admit before you, what we've learned in the last few years has not given us the best house. It has not given us the best things. But I can tell you this, it has allowed us to pursue God's purpose without fear for the future. It has allowed us to trust God for the future of our children because God's working out their purpose. And whether I can do things on my own and my own strength, I know God can provide because God's purpose will be established in our children. I realize that there are times that the best strategy and the most cost-effective way may not be the God way. In our world, we're trying to be the most cost-effective, most efficient way. I began to realize many times it is not the God way. Because what is more important is not making the most out of your money. What is more important is making the most out of your trust in God. And sometimes the sale, alam niyo ba yung sale? Minsan the sale is pressure. The sale sometimes destroys everything that God wants to do in our life. Because God is not pressured by sale, tayo ho yun. God can get it to us whether it's sale or whether it's not. Now please don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you not to be efficient and cost effective. But what I'm saying is many times it's not the God way. So the question really is, Lord, when is the timing? When is the right time? What is where and what? After hearing all these testimonies from my friend, all this miracles about money, I got concerned. I sat down with him and said, look, I'm really concerned. If this is all about money, I don't want anything to do with it. I thank God my friend looked at me and says, Jiray, you look for yourself. I'm not going to sit down here and prove to you this is not about money, but you look for yourself. And I began to realize if we want to prosper, then we got to know God. We need to be able to hear His voice. We need to be able to hear His leading. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we would rather have a list of do's and don'ts. Step one, step two, step three. Instead of taking the time of getting to know God and allowing God to know us. Sometimes I preach on sowing and reaping, and I watch it. And sometimes we have to watch this ourselves because we treat it like lotto. Let me just keep sowing. Let me just keep buying and buying a lotto ticket. Let me keep sowing and sowing. One day I'm going to hit the jackpot. And it's not that at all. It's allowing God to use us when the time, when God says don't give, how dare you give? But when God says give, now is the time to give. Allowing God to lead us. I began to realize it's about God's purpose. It's not about proving God blesses people. Sometimes we get pressured. You know, my neighbor is so wealthy. I'm the Christian. I want to show him that God blesses his people. We don't have to go out of our way to do that, because God can show him that. What we need to go out of our way to is find out what is God's purpose for us. I realize this. A wrong purpose could be just as bad as a wrong motive. A wrong purpose could be just as bad as a wrong motive. And sometimes we can check all our motives. And friends, I am one who believes that God can correct our motives. I am one who believes I'd rather people ask and keep asking from God and let God correct motives rather than be afraid of your motives, whether I have a wrong motive, and never ask anything from God. I believe God can make corrections. But more than just motives, what is the purpose? What is God's purpose in our life? So choose God. And the next thing is choose God's word. Choose to stand on the word of God and his promise. Hebrews 11 verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. We began to choose, ask the question, what does the word of God say? And in a lot of our decisions today, even as a family, we bring our children into this. What does the word of God say? We want to do this. What does the word of God say? We want to go to a few years ago, we've been praying for years to go to Australia. And a few years ago, we felt like it was the time of the Lord. We prayed and we prayed, all right, we talked about it as a family. Next week, we'll talk about this again. And there's one question I want us to pray and ask God. Is this the time? And we got together as a family 1 week later and everybody said, yes, we feel like this is the time. And then we began to see the miracle happen one after the other. One after the other. And it was crazy because the rates for the plane tickets were very high at that time. But God provided above and beyond what we could ask or imagine. Settling the issue. Lord, what does your word say? What is your will? We know Abraham and Noah did crazy stuff, but it was backed by the word of God. What does the word of God say to you? Choose the word no matter the difficulty. We started to be more and more word and promise conscious. We began to ask the question, what is the word of God? What is the promise of God here? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. We began to search the scriptures for financial answers. What is the solution? Why are we facing this, Lord? We began to realize God provides for his children. So when there's no provision, I can actually go to God. Lord, something is amiss here. I may have done something wrong here. I may have not seen something right here. Lord, you can make adjustments. Show me where we need to make the adjustment. Because I know you said in your word that you shall provide. And if there's no provision, something is missing. So show us, Lord, where. And we began to trust God and trust his word. The word changed the way we saw and went about certain truths we already knew. I shared it in the beginning that some of the truths I heard were something we already knew and already believed in a sense. But we began to take that apart, take that to heart and begin to take it in prayer. Lord, how does this work in our lives? I began to realize that copying stories does not work. Because that's God's solution for them. That's God's application. It may not be what God wants to do in my life. I'm copying people. The encouragement is this. Start where you are. If you're in this level, then start there. where you start does not matter if you know where you're going. The problem is if we don't know where we're going, where we start might be it, then it makes a difference. But if we know where we're going, it doesn't matter where we start. But allow God to lead you in the midst of that. The word began to show and change the way we saw tithing. Do you know that tithing is a planned, prepared act of worship? It is not spontaneous. Today, for so many Christians, they go to church and they realize, uy, makano kaya bibigay ko? Tithing was planned by the family. Tithing was something, you know, when there was no money, they prepared a goat, they prepared a sheep from the, once they see a perfect sheep, aalagaan mo yun hanggang it gets to a certain age where you can offer it. It was prepared, it was planned, you're looking forward to it, it was an honor, it was a privilege, it was an act of worship. That began to change the way we saw tithing. Today, just a few months ago, God began to make adjustments in our hearts again. Today, when we give our tithe, we hold it together. We hold the check together, my wife and myself, and we pray and we say, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for this tithe that opens the windows of heaven. I thank you, Lord God, that we will worship you with this because of your goodness and your mercy. It wasn't just, oh, in tithe natin, oh, ito na, okay na. There's an act of faith. Something happens in the spirit when you worship God with your tithe. The tithe is 10%, but tithing is an act of worship. The word began to change the way we saw tithing. We began to see it not as a limitation, but as something that sets us free. The Bible says, test me this if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. It changed the way we saw our offerings. It began to show us that this was seed for our future. Before, we used to wait for opportunities. We used to wait for people to, somebody could come up, you want to be part of this? Okay. What happened was when I realized this was seed, and when seed grows, I get the harvest for what I need. We became proactive with our offering. We're the ones now looking for opportunities. Lord, where do you want us to sow? Why? Because this is my future. Okay? It began to deal with certain issues, certain religious lies. I'll give you one. Line that's taken out of context many times. And it's this line. When you give to God, the amount doesn't matter. If you take that line and just look at that, that is not the truth. Because when you take that from the scripture, that is not the context. Because when you study scripture, the amount makes a difference. The amount makes a difference. The tithe is not 9%, it is 10. It is very clear. If you want a great future, what you give as an offering makes a difference for your future. And yet we just accept that line. It says, when you give, the amount doesn't matter. If all you want is for the offering to be acceptable, then the amount may not matter. But if you want the future that God has for you, the amount makes a difference. Began to change. We began to realize that multiplication only happens after the seed is planted. Multiplication doesn't happen in your bank account. For your bank account to multiply, something has to come from the outside to put it inside. But if you want your seed to multiply, it only happens when it is planted. We began to realize that sowing and reaping was a way out God was giving us. Another thing that I began to realize, you know, people say that when you give, don't expect. Then I began to realize that is not true. Because first, God is the God who says, test me in this. Now, friends, I know the danger. We can make this about money if we want to. But if we walk with God, it's not about money. It's about God's purpose. See, so many of these people, I began to realize, so many of these people who preach that when you give, you don't have to expect anything in return, come from decades of prosperity. These are Western preachers who've had society. It's only in the last few years that they're being challenged financially. For decades, they've been prosperous. So when you have a job and you can give, you can survive. But what do you do with somebody who has nothing? And his only way out is to give. I began to realize it changed everything. I began to be thankful to the Lord that God gave me a way out by giving me a chance to be generous and provided at the same time. Thank you, Lord, for your solution. And I began to realize that faith is about obedience, it's about trust, and it's about expectation. So to say when you give, don't expect anything in return, you are just nullifying what the Word of God teaches. Besides, I realize this, for those who give and don't expect, they'll look for other ways to get anyway. Hello? You may not expect from God, but you look for other ways to get. And I began to realize this, if you cannot expect from God, you will be limited by the way God can use you. Because you'll always look at the little that you have. I can't give now. But if we can be in a place where we expect God to be true to His Word and to bring that reality of His Word into our lives, then when God says unload, you can trust Him because you know that His Word always works. God can deal with an evil heart. We began to see realize that there's really no argument between desires for needs and wants. Again, there's this line in prosperity or financial circles that God supplies your needs, not your wants. That is not true. And I plead with you to please stop using that line. Because it is not true. Because the Bible says God gives you the desires of your hearts. I don't know why it is wrong to ask God for your desires, but it is okay to work hard for your desires. I don't understand that. Besides, I began to realize following the trail or following the question, what is a need and a want, will get you nowhere. Pastor Jeray, I heard this line before. Pastor Jeray, in Manila, a car is not a want, it is a need. Really? Then what would you say when 80% of people in Metro Manila don't have a car? I would rather just challenge you to ask God and let God deal with your heart. Don't go down that road. Needs and wants, they're the same thing. God can give it to you, God wants to give it to you, and God can deal with your heart about it. Many other things. Lastly, choose faith in God. A life of faith is a supernatural life. By faith, we choose to expect from God. Expect from God, not from people. Put pressure on the Word of God and the promise of God, not on people. I'll close with this story. You don't have to do this, but this was something God dealt with us. And this was something that showed me how amazing my wife was. A few years after living this, there was a challenge I believe God told us. At one point, we were sowing every week. We set a certain amount, we were giving. Every week, when God tells us who, then we give it. If God says no, then we put it aside. Next week, it's double what we... But we're giving. We're asking God every week, Lord, somebody needs this money. We ended up giving about a half of what we were already getting, aside from the tithe. And God began to, we've been a pastor for many years. And after we started doing it, it was only the time that people showed up actually in our houses, in our house, saying, "Pastor Jure, the Lord told me to give you this." It's never happened in our life before. From the time we got married, we settled it with my wife. The tithe is not an issue. We will give our tithe. But when we started embracing sowing and reaping, people would show up in our house. Every so often, people, I'd be walking and people would tell me, "Pastor Jure, the Lord told me to give you this." I would be, every so often I would get a text message, "Pastor Jure, you don't know me, but I know you. The Lord told me to give you some money. Can I get your bank account, please?" And we would respond, "Have fun with it. Here it is." And it's, God still does it. People I don't know, people from nowhere. But at one point, again, I hope I don't come across as bragging. Just want to share with you how amazing God is. At one point, I felt like the Lord told me, "Jure, if you want the breakthrough, give everything away." So I talked to my wife. I talked to Dad. I said, "Panga, I feel like the Lord told me to give our salary away." And my wife looked at me and said, "Are you sure you're not just copying your friend?" I said, "I feel like that." Then my wife told me, she said, "Don't talk to me again until I talk to you about this." I said, "Okay." The next day, my wife came back to me and told me, "All right, honey, the Lord told, go ahead and do it." She can probably tell you what God showed her. But the first month we did this, God gave us double. And at that time, we were getting just less than 5 figures every month. And God gave us double. The next month, that was also the month we gave our car away. And the Lord returned our car with an amazing miracle in itself. The third month we did this, God gave us about a month and a half. On the fourth month, the breakthrough happened. Month after month for the rest of the year, God gave us 6 figures. I don't know how it happened, but it was crazy. One after the other. I was having coffee with this man, and he looked at me and said, "Jure, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to give you everything I have." And he got money in his front pocket, all his pockets, his wallet. He's putting it on the table while we're having coffee. "The Lord told me to give you this." He said, "Jure, I don't bring cash. I normally don't bring cash, but today I brought cash. I don't know why. I didn't know why. I ended up bringing cash, and the Lord told give you." He gave me 9,000 pesos. Right there and then. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. Again, please don't just copy the stories. But walk with God with this. Friends, this is an adventure. And as we close, I want to encourage you, choose to trust the tithe given. When we have a challenge to face, we can go to God, "Lord, we are tithers. I ask you right now for the windows of heaven to open over this need." Choose to trust the seed that has been sown. We regularly believe God for this, "Lord. We thank you, Lord. We have sown seeds for the tuition fee of our children. We have sown seeds for the vacation of our family. We have sown seeds for every need that we can think of at this time. We're sowing seeds now for our own house. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for..." Lastly, we made a decision. If any financial decision that we make will put pressure on our giving and not allow us to give more than we have been given, then we don't want that decision. Because we know our giving is our future. So we decided that we will just keep giving because the future, will the harvest will make way for itself. All right. God bless you. Thank you.